Welcome to this episode of 60 Second Retail, a BDO podcast keeping you in the know on events and trends in the retail and consumer products industry impacting your bottom line in just a few short minutes.
Hello and welcome back to the show. I'm your host, Natalie Cutler, national leader of the Retail and Consumer Products Industry Group at BDO. Store closures and bankruptcy headlines continue to grab attention across the retail landscape. But the story isn't always as simple as distress or decline. In today's Retail in the Red episode, we're talking with Michelle Michaelis, Managing Director in our Business Restructuring and Turnaround Services. Michelle is going to help us take a close look at what recent closures and filings really signal about the state of the industry, how broader economic dynamics are shaping retailer decisions, and what these moves may tell us about who's positioned to weather what comes next. Michelle, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me, Natalie.
Michelle, let's start by grounding this conversation in the broader economic backdrop. Now, we know it's changing super rapidly, sometimes by the hour, but let's talk about what it looks like today. It seems retail is conforming to the emerging K-shaped economy right now, targeting either price-sensitive consumers or the luxury brand consumer. But before we delve any further, let's define what exactly is the K-shaped economy and how is this new K-shaped economy affecting the retail industry?
Well, to start, a K-shaped economy can best be described as the divergence of different segments of the economy, where different groups or sectors recover from economic challenges at different rates. Simply put, some people or business, depending on what you're looking at, do well and see their incomes or profits rise, while others struggle and fall behind. Basically, not everyone benefits or suffers equally from the economic changes. So on a graph, this looks like those two lines moving in opposite directions, forming a K. One goes up, the other goes down. In the last several years, we've seen a clear indication of this K from a consumer's wealth perspective, for example, as the income disparity has become far more apparent, translating into where retail dollars are spent and are coming from. So for example, the top 10% of earners account for roughly 50% of all spending. Further, from an industry rather than individual wealth perspective, what we're seeing is the K-shaped economy creating a clear divide in the retail industry. The upper line really being formed by the combination of two varying components that you actually mentioned. Discount retail and many big box stores are thriving, with consumers seeking value and affordability. They also benefit from shoppers trading down and prioritizing lower prices. This is actually across all income classes then. You couple this with luxury retailers and premium brands that continue to attract high income consumers whose spending remains strong. So ultimately, both of these groups, for the most part, are doing rather well and are improving in the current climate. In contrast, middle market retailers, or those who have been considered in the traditional middle market spectrum, neither deeply discounted nor high end, are caught in the middle a bit more, and they're on that down shape of the K. So these retailers are facing a shrinking demand, softer sales, heightened price sensitivity, as their traditional customers are being pulled either towards the cheaper alternatives or the more discounted alternatives, or to aspirational purchases. As a result, we can say the current K-shaped economy is likely having the most significant impact on that middle market group. And as spending continues to be increasingly polarized, those middle market retailers are facing challenges maintaining sales and customers.
Absolutely. I mean, some of those facts were staggering. And you know what's interesting? I was reading an article about fast food, super fast food restaurant, right? I'll leave the name out to protect the innocent and the guilty. And they are coming up with a new menu that is foods under $3, obviously to attract the lower end of the K-shaped economy. And then they're doing a higher end type of food to try and attract maybe the luxury buyer or the top of the K economy buyer that may not be visiting them. So it's really interesting how you see retailers, this one specifically is fast food, how they're trying to adapt what they offer because of the significant changes in the consumer. But let's circle back to what we wanted to talk about, and that's about bankruptcy. So we have seen a couple, and maybe you can tell us about across some of the recent bankruptcies and the retail results so far. Are you seeing any patterns? And if yes, what are they?
So there have been actually very few retail bankruptcies so far in 2026. So if you exclude such things as restaurants or similar franchises. So we've only got about 6 or 8 with Saks Fifth Avenue, Francesca's, and Eddie Bauer obviously being the standouts of names that people know. So to put that into context, last year at this time, we had roughly twice that many, which I believe indicates that the retail market on a whole continues to sustain itself and adapt to the overall market and economic volatility and the ever-decreasing consumer sentiment that's occurred since last year in February. That said, I think the pattern for retailers as a whole is similar to our K-shaped economy of two divergent lines. For what would be deemed luxury retailers, resiliency remains, but is narrowing a bit. Although the high, ultra-high net worth retail results remain strong and consistent, the aspirational luxury is getting a little weaker. So some that are considered higher net worth, but are not ultra-high, and it's amusing that we actually now are defining it as ultra-high net worth, the high net worth, but those not ultra-high, but high net worth are kind of hitting their psychological ceilings for goods, meaning that a weak brand equity is kind of being exposed much faster. Now, you may say if ultra high net worth is doing well, then why did Saks file for Chapter 11, for example? But my opinion is that that was a little less about luxury consumption and more about issues that can arise for any retailer. Highly leveraged acquisitions, inventory concerns, as in, you know, delays in payments to vendors, causing delays in receipts, store footprints that are costly in terms of their margins, strategic partnerships that might not run as smoothly as first predicted, and a shift for luxury brands sold at stores away from the larger store format. You know, these luxury brands now have their own boutiques, direct to consumer, or changes in their own clientele. So for what we deem, that's the luxury side. Then for what we deem the value or price-driven retailer, they're experiencing increased trips, but overall smaller baskets, if you will, as there's an overall trade down in behavior for all income levels. So whether it's store or online, there's an increased number of volume for shop from a shopper perspective, but a downtick, it seems, in some of the amounts purchased. Customers are simply visiting more stores, but purchasing a little less.
Yeah, that's an interesting observation, but So let's talk a little bit about store closures. I know we touched on bankruptcies, but maybe let's turn to store closures. Do you think that today's store closures are primarily about weakening demand, or are they more about legacy cost structures, outdated operating models that's now being exposed? And if yes, what's behind the store closures we saw in the first quarter?
So that's a really good question. And I would say for most retailers, it's a bit of a mix of all of them, the shift in demand coupled with legacy costs and an unbalanced operating model. Unlike the last few years where we had several large retail bankruptcies that had significant footprints, this year closures seem to be driven a lot more by the realignment of store locations and operations. In other words, retail Chapter 11s only account for about 500 or so of the up to 2,500 store closings that occurred in Q1. Versus last year, where over 50% of all the store closures were driven by Chapter 11s. So the shift in demand, depending on the type of retailer you're talking about, discount, middle market, or luxury, often reveals that the existing store footprints and legacy operating structures simply don't align anymore with what the market's requiring. The specific location of a store, rather than simply the total numbers of a store, remains a crucial factor for determining performance. The adage of location matters, but only after the operating model breaks. Notably, store closures tend to be concentrated based on a store format, a geographic area, and an income profile of the surrounding community, rather than being driven by the broader economic trends. For example, retailers often close locations in suburban or tertiary markets where store productivity is simply lower. Stores in mall environments that are rated C or D, less foot traffic and a little less appeal, shuttered more quickly because they often continue having high operating costs. Outlets in areas facing rising labor, real estate costs, and inner ring malls with high operating costs, but simply lower consumer engagement, just aren't sustainable for retailers anymore. Ultimately, the retailer's business model that rely too heavily on physical stores or carrying excess inventory or depend on frequent promotions, they just don't match the customer shopping habits, or they're unable to cover their fixed costs, even if they are in a favorable location. And that is really the result of a lot of these store closures, is retailers recognizing that issue and trying to improve their overall business health.
Yeah, I think we're certainly in very interesting times. And I think I say that all the time, but it seems as if this is more interesting than it has been in the past. So if we zoom out, what do these closures and maybe even the bankruptcy filings, what do they tell us about where retail is heading? Now, I know often we talk about the retail apocalypse and retail is done, and I don't believe that. I don't think that is the case. But what do you think that these signs are telling us right now? And it's not really just about who's failing or what type of store is failing, but who's likely to survive? Who's going to make what type of retailer is going to actually thrive in this environment?
Well, I agree with your comment about this is not the retail apocalypse, is not the end of retail as we know it. But as I said earlier, overall retail has remained rather resilient, much to a lot of people's surprise. And many retailers have or are adapting to this constant volatility in the market. Chapter 11 filings are fewer this year so far, and though inflation remains higher than desired, it still hasn't caused too significant a dent in retail sales as a whole. That said, I think that the current geopolitical and economic situation, we're going to see more exposure by Q3 and Q4 of those retailers that simply haven't realigned their approach on an omni-channel basis, addressed the margin drains they have, or implemented or improved their customer satisfaction models, or haven't done what they can to build a stronger brand loyalty. The big question mark will remain the middle market retailers, as I discussed earlier. Some have already adapted and addressed the aspirational or the discount opportunities that they have, but others are still figuring out where they want and actually can survive. And that, I think, is going to be the biggest driver by the end of, let's say, you know, while we're in the middle of Q3 and Q4. That's where we're going to see it fall out.
I agree with you completely. Thank you, Michelle. And as we've discussed, store closures and bankruptcies are often symptoms of deeper shifts in cost structure, consumer behavior, and economic pressures, not just a sign of failure. For retailers, the real takeaway is knowing which signals to watch and when to act before the red ink starts to spread. If you found this episode insightful, please share it with your team and colleagues, and don't forget to add us to your library whenever you listen to podcasts. Thank you.
And that concludes this episode of BDO's 60 Second Retail Podcast. Don't forget to tune in for the next episode. To find more information on our hosts, guests, BDO's services, or listen to previous episodes of 60 Second Retail, please visit www.bdo.com/60-second-retail.